Sports Business Journal's largest event of the year is coming to LA Live April 18th and 19th. The CAA, World Congress of Sports, brings together the entire sports industry to network and discuss the current state of sports business. You can view the entire speaker lineup and register for the CAA World Congress of Sports at worldcongressofsports.com. Sign up today because I certainly look forward to seeing you in LA. We hit on it yesterday. Let's close the loop today. South Carolina, Virginia Tech, they join Iowa and LSU to round out the women's basketball Final Four. So starting on Friday in Dallas, we'll see South Carolina play number 2 Iowa. Then in the other semi, we'll see LSU face Virginia Tech. So some familiar schools and a new program like Virginia Tech in the women's Final Four. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, March 28th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcore. Nice to be with you this morning. Hope you're all doing well. You know, we touched on it on the Buzzcast Monday, but the NWSL has put some more resources around ticket sales in the local markets, and at least for week one, it has seemed to pay off. The NWSL broke its record for average attendance on the opening weekend of a regular season for the second year in a row. The 6 games averaged 15,000, up from an average of 10,000 last year. Now, certainly, that was boosted by the more than 30,000 fans that attended Snapdragon Stadium. That was a record NWSL crowd for a home opener. Another marquee market, of course, is Los Angeles, where for the second year in a row, Angel City FC drew a sellout of 22,000 for its home opener. Another good marker was in DC, where the Washington Spirit drew more than 11,000 at Audi Field. That's a record for its home opener. So we are going to continue to watch these numbers because for the league to grow its fan base and to grow revenue, ticket sales are going to be critical. Staying with women's sports, a new sports venture fund called Monarch Collective, led by Angel City FC co-founder Karen Nortman and Miami venture capitalist Jasmine Robinson, is focused on investing in women's sports teams, leagues, and related businesses around women's sports. Now, the fund is well capitalized with $100 million ready to deploy. And additional investors in the fund include Billie Jean King, among others. Now, Karen Nortman said that Monarch Collective will target sports with a large global or domestic audience. So they're looking at women's soccer and women's basketball. So a $100 million fund, a pretty significant fund, and it further drives so much of the interest and investment we're seeing around women's sports. Let's move on. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman was in Ottawa on Monday and met with city officials, and he sounded confident about the progress being made on the sale of the Ottawa Senators. Bettman said there are a number of strong bidders among the 6 that have moved on to the second phase of the bid process. So the next stage is likely non-binding bids for the team, and that sets up a possible nice bidding war for the NHL, which would, of course, drive the price up around the franchise. Bettman did acknowledge that phase 2, which will be non-binding bids and an auction, could take up to 6 weeks. The belief is that it will be about midsummer before a deal for the Ottawa Senators is finally closed and papered. Let's shift to a sport we don't talk a lot about on the Buzzcast, but Bank of America continues to step up and support marathons and participatory running, as the Boston Marathon is gaining a new sponsor, but keeping its main name. That's ideal for any event or property. So Bank of America will become the race's presenting partner beginning in April of next year. Bank of America will take over after 38 years of John Hancock as the race's primary sponsor. So Bank of America does a 10-year deal that will rebrand the race as the Boston Marathon, presented by Bank of America. For Bank of America, their marketer said the deal made sense because it hit all the right buttons. It was about the community of Boston. It was about runners, charity, impact on local business, wellness, and diversity. So for Bank of America, the marathon hit every one of those buckets. So that's why it's appealing for that company. So many of these deals are title sponsorships where the corporate brand name would supersede the Boston Marathon. But Bank of America takes a secondary presenting role. Now, it is interesting they felt the need or the interest to sponsor another marathon because they have a history here. Bank of America has been the title sponsor to the Chicago Marathon since 2008. Now, the sports agency Sport 5 assisted the Boston Athletic Association with the sale of the presenting sponsorship. And like I mentioned, incumbent John Hancock will end it's 38 years of sponsoring the Boston Marathon with the next race in just a couple of weeks on April 17th. Moving over to motorsports, a key deal for IndyCar, which for the second time in 3 years has secured an extension with NTT and NTT Data on a title sponsorship deal with the IndyCar series. So this new extension will kick in starting in 2024. It will keep NTT as an IndyCar partner for at least a 6 year. And that would make NTT and NTT Data the second longest 10-year title sponsorship in IndyCar history. So this is a critical deal. Keeping NTT and NTT Data into the fold is a very positive step for IndyCar, which is seeing a little bit of momentum and interest. Certainly keeping this sponsor in the fold, always, always a good sign. Shifting over to sports agency news, a new player on the agency scene has added to its offering with media consulting. Range Sports, that is the management and production agency run by Will Funk, who worked for years at Turner Sports, and Greg Luckman, who for years worked at CAA and then Allied Sports, have acquired Claygate Advisors. Now, sports media veteran David Sternberg launched Claygate Advisors, which is a media rights advisory firm, 8 years ago. He was joined at the firm in 2020 by Dan Granick. So now David Sternberg and Dan Granick are co-heads of media consulting for Range Sports. This will allow Range Sports to be a player in the media rights business. Range Sports launched just last July as a division of Range Media Partners, and that was started by agents from CAA and UTA and WME. So this is a new business, but agencies really like being in the media consulting business because there are ways it really grows business relationships with properties and networks, and you can draft off that and get into other lines of businesses. And so Claygate Advisors currently advises Chelsea, the Indiana Pacers, Athletes Unlimited, and U.S. Ski and Snowboard, among others. But this deal, becoming part of Range Media, allows Claygate, which was a two-person shop, to have access to more resources, and it will really help the company grow. So Range Sports acquiring media advisory firm Claygate Advisors. You know, staying with media, these will be tough times at Disney and ESPN. So certainly keep that in mind when having interactions with executives there. Disney CEO Bob Iger said the company has started laying off staffers following his announcement last month that the company would have to cut 7,000 jobs. Iger said that the layoffs will occur in three different waves, ending just before the start of the summer. So, some challenging and unfortunate times with layoffs pending at Disney. And finally, we'll end with this. A big hitter is taking on a key sports role in the big city of Philadelphia during a critical time. If you read this week's Sports Business Journal, you probably read Brett McCormick's piece about the massive renovation at the Wells Fargo Center done by Comcast Spectacor, all while the Philadelphia 76ers are pursuing a new arena in downtown Philadelphia. It's a big controversial story with a lot of subplots, and everybody is talking about it in that city. And now comes a changing of the guard at Comcast Spectacor and atop the Philadelphia Flyers, as Dan Hilferty will succeed retiring Dave Scott atop the organization. So Dave Scott is retiring after 30 years with Comcast, and Hilferty, who joined Comcast Spectacor as CEO just last month, will succeed Scott as both the company chair and the Flyers governor. So two big roles. Now, Dan Hilferty is a very big hitter in Philadelphia. He led the city's successful bid to host the 2026 World Cup, and his ascension into the top role is just a continuation of the changes at the Flyers. Remember, the team dismissed president of hockey operations and general manager Chuck Fletcher, and so there's a new kind of vibe around the Flyers. Spectacor Sports and Entertainment's Valerie Camillo will report to Dan Hilferty, and she'll oversee the Wells Fargo Center and the Flyers' business operations. But this is still important and interesting because, like I said, Hilferty is very, very connected, and the Philadelphia Inquirer noted his reputation as a mover, a shaker, and a problem solver. So he has a big job ahead of him. He's got to get the Flyers connecting again with the community, with the city, and at the same time, firmly hold the value of the Wells Fargo Center and probably advocate for one Philadelphia arena and not two facilities. So Dan Hilferty has deep local connections that give him great credibility in the Philadelphia marketplace. And that is exactly what the Flyers sought and what they really need at this time. So the Flyers are an interesting organization, and what's happening in Philadelphia is a very interesting story to keep your eye on. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, March 28th. I'm Abe Madcor. Stay healthy, be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.